All right, so let's begin with chapter 3. Here we'll try to understand traditional paid media. Okay, so we'll try to understand various forms of traditional media in this chapter, which includes television, radio, print, and out of home, right? So, but before we get on to the individual media, let's talk about, you know, the ad revenues for the traditional media, right? Or the ad revenues for media in general, right? So TV has contributed to the most of the ad revenues in the entire media universe, which is close to like 40 to 42%. This is followed closely by digital, which is now standing at 33% of ad revenue, compared to, you know, a mere 24% in 2019, which kind of explains how, you know, kind of explains the shift that is happening from, you know, conventional media to digital media. So in terms of the ad revenues, right, the television, digital, and print put together, they contribute to almost 95% of the ad revenues in the media space, right? And rest is then out of home, and then cinema, and so on, right? So the chart here, you know, it it explains this shift, right? So the blue lines that the blue bars that we see, this is basically the TV, TV ad revenues, which is like the most ad revenues amongst the media. But if we see the trend, it has kind of remained stable, like 40 42 42 40. So it, TV ad revenues have been significant, but they're not growing hugely. They are steady. The red bars that we see is actually print. So we can see that in 2019, the ad revenues for print were 26%, which has, you know, has dropped to 19%, and that has happened after the pandemic. Digital, on the other hand, if we see from 24, it is right now at 36%. So as we were saying this before, you know, digital is kind of replacing, you know, traditional forms of media in some other way, and the impact can be seen for the traditional media in terms of print in this bar graph. All right, so let's start with television first in the traditional media. So TV, we all know, we've been familiar with TV, and TV continues to dominate, you know, in terms of the entire media reach. You know, it is the largest reach media platform. So according to BARC, or Broadcast Audience Research Council, which is a third party, you know, TV measurement system in India, there are around 210 million households that has TV, that has an access to TV, which roughly translates to 890 million individuals. So 890 million individuals in India has an access to TV, right? So when we are doing a TV advertising, we have a potential 890 million individuals which we can reach out to, right? In terms of the ad expenditures, TV has been dominating the space in terms of ad expenditure by advertisers. So for example, if we consider all the advertising spends combined for all the advertisers in India, TV used to be the highest, TV used to be a space wherein advertisers used to spend the highest money. That is still true, but as of the current date in 2023, you know, digital has exceeded TV spends by a margin, by a small margin though. But TV still continues to have, you know, one of the largest pies of ad expenditure. So when it comes to TV, there are certain terminologies that we need to be aware of. One of such terminologies is day part. Now the term itself is day part, basically a part of the day, right? So it could be morning, could be afternoon, could be evening. So so TV day parts are divided into TV running length is divided into these into these day parts, right? So basically, if we the TV, right, the content on TV keeps running for 24 hours, right? But then it is divided into day parts, so that, you know, the advertisers can choose probably to, you know, advertise within all of the day parts, or they can select a particular day part, right? One of such day parts is called prime time, which starts from 7 o'clock in the evening and goes till 11 p.m. In the night. So this is called prime time, which is also a day part wherein the viewership is the highest, right? So this is a day part that gets the highest viewership, and of course the rates for this day part will also be quite significantly high. So that's day part, right? When it comes to the formats of the content, there's fiction and then there is non-fiction. So fiction formats or fiction genres, like, you know, there's comedy, there's drama, there's animation, these are all fiction contents. And then there are non-fiction contents, like there's news, there's sports, there's awards, reality shows, etc. So on TV, when it comes to the revenues, right, there are two parts in which it is divided. One is the revenue that comes from the advertising, and the second is the revenue that comes through the subscription. So TV revenue, it is now getting close to the 2022 levels. It has fallen in between, but now it is close to the 2022 levels. Now for the TV revenue, as we were saying, it is divided into two parts. The advertising, we have seen that it has mostly stayed stable at 40%, but there has been reduction in revenue when it comes to the subscription model. So subscription model is basically, if we have cable TV at home, we are paying a certain amount of fee for our cable operator, right? So that's the subscription. We are basically subscribing to consume the content, and that for TV has been falling. So that subscription has fallen by 6%, and this is coming from reduction in both reduction in 6 million households opting out of the pay TV subscription. Also, there's a fall in the average revenue per user. So not everyone would subscribe to all the channels or all the genres of channel. So for example, I only consume sports and reality content, so I'll probably subscribe only for the sports channels, etc. So that average revenue per user has also fallen. So when it comes to the TV universe, there are almost like 900 plus TV channels that exist in India. In terms of, if you see the trend, right, the pay channels, they have increased from 2021 to now, while the FTA or the free to air channels, right, they have reduced. Now, free to air channel is basically a free dish that you can install, and you will get access only to the free channels, which are called free to air channels. So basically, this step has been taken by the media owners, right, to increase the revenue in terms of subscription, so that people opt to more paid channels and get their subscription revenues high. So this is a step that is taken consciously by the media owners, right? Then when it comes to the distribution of this content, the distributed platform, they remain stable, and it is in India dominated by MSOs. MSOs is basically your cable service providers, like Den, like Hathway, GTPL, etc. Apart from that, then there is of course Tata Sky and Videocon, D2H, etc. But that is a part of it. Right now in India, the cable space is dominated by the MSOs for now. Then on TV, we have seen that digital has grown, right, in the past, but TV has been remaining stable. But one thing that we need to note here is that, the time spent on TV by the viewers, you know, that has reduced, that has been reducing slowly. So people are becoming a light TV viewers as opposed to what they were heavy TV viewers before. So in HSM or the Hindi speaking market, basically you can probably exclude South from all India and you get Hindi speaking markets. In that market, this time spent has reduced from 10%, and whereas in South, it has reduced by 5%. Now, one of the reasons for this can also be that HSM, which is a huge market, you know, the market is quite fragmented. I mean, there are so many channels available, so many Hindi channels available, or in the Hindi market, you know, the availability of channels is so much that, you know, people tend to watch different channels, and thereby there's a fragmentation, because of which, the TVRs, the television rating points that the HSM market gets is quite significantly low if we compare it with the South states, which also kind of explains why the reduction in time spent in South India is 5% against 10% in HSM. Now, on TV, when it comes to the advertisers, there are multiple categories that advertise, right? I mean, there wouldn't be any category would probably not choose to advertise on TV unless there are budgetary constraints. But in a nutshell, you know, the most prominent industries or the categories that advertise on TV are the FMCG, which is the fast moving consumer goods, which is closely followed by the e-commerce platform. Now that shift has, it's an interesting shift because e-commerce platform have come to India probably, you know, 10 years back, and they have now become the one of the largest categories to advertise on TV. Yeah. In terms of the top 10 advertisers, you know, again, top six advertisers are FMCG companies, right? Which explains, you know, importance of TV for, you know, FMCG brands. Then for TV, when we talk about the genres, right? There are multiple genres. There's GEC, like general entertainment channels. There's news, there's sports, you know, there are music channels, etc. So out of them, right, the GEC or the general entertainment channels, like let's say Star Plus, Sony TV or ZTV, the GEC, they have the highest share in terms of the ad volumes. And this is closely followed by news. One interesting thing here is that, you know, during the pandemic time, news was the genre which got the highest ad volumes. So when it comes to advertising on TV, you know, because TV is kind of an expensive medium, it is very important that we or an advertiser choose to advertise for brand spots which have kind of a short length but also try to communicate the message effectively. So usually 20 seconds to 40 seconds is an average length of the communication in which the advertisers operate on TV. Of course, it can be higher than that, it can be lower than that, but it has to be in a multiples of 5 seconds, right? It starts with 5 seconds and can go you know, as high as probably 300 seconds, but obviously that's not recommended. So finally, when it comes through, you know, the pros and cons of television, we all know that, you know, television has been around with us since decades, and you know, it's kind of a comfort space for all of us, for our family, you know. So obviously it's a sight plus the sound, and we are all used to it. So the impact on TV for a communication is quite high. TV has the mass reach, as we were saying, that 890 million individuals have an access to TV. So obviously it ensures mass reach, which is a very, very big advantage. Take any media plan, you know, for a for a for an established brand, and TV will be a part of that plan because it ultimately reaches out to the maximum audiences possible, right? Then on TV, the viewing times are quite high as compared to digital. Like we've seen that digital is growing in terms of ad revenues, yes. But, you know, the stickiness or the time spent on digital is lesser when it compare when it's compared to the TV, right? So on TV, lot of appointment viewing happens. Like people, would like to catch up on their shows at a particular period of time. Obviously, that appointment viewing is slowly fading, but still, TV has, you know, the highest viewing time compared to all the other media. Secondly, the involvement in the content on TV is very high. So, because the involvement of a consumer or an audience on TV is high, whatever the ad spots that we are playing on TV, right, it also gets that much of attention compared to other platforms. And then, and that is the reason why a TV spot probably would be of a higher impact than an ad that you see on YouTube, right? So involvement of the content or the involvement of the audience is very high on TV. But it also comes with certain disadvantages, right? One of the disadvantages is that, you know, the control of content lies with the telecaster or the media owner, right? So the only thing that you can do probably with TV is, you know, place your spots and you know hope that the spots get serviced. So the control lies with advertiser. Obviously, there are a lot of things like integration that you can do on TV, and we'll discuss that in the upcoming chapters. But the point here is that control, it lies with the telecaster. TV, like we mentioned before, is an expensive medium. So a brand, brands which probably do not have deep pockets may not be able to advertise on TV. And, you know, when it comes to the authenticity for TV, yes, it's there, but it probably is not as high as what the levels that we can get on print, right? So authenticity is there, but it's slightly lesser. Yeah. So these are the these were the pros and cons of television. So in terms of what lies ahead for TV, the future outlook of TV, we can expect that the TV can grow on the back of new advertisers looking for a brand awareness. So there are so many unicorns coming up, and you know they are choosing to advertise on TV for the mass appeal. Right, so TV will continue to grow on back of new advertisers, but you know that growth is quite steady. It's not disruptive, so it's going to saturate at some point in time. But for now, it will grow on the back of new advertisers. The ad rate correction that keeps happening, you know, it keeps actually happening year on year. There's inflation that keeps happening. Right, so rate corrections is something that will keep happening on TV, you know, even in future. Sports is very huge, right? On TV, sports is huge. We still, I mean, obviously, we have a lot of options. We have TV, we have, you know, OTT platforms to watch TV, watch sports, but sports is one of the genres that kind of, you know, is very big on TV. So TV will continue to grow, like events like IPL, World Cup, etc. happening. That's where, you know, there's a growth for TV. Then TV, in terms of its future outlook, of course, it's is facing certain challenges from connected TV. So that's kind of a threat point for TV, you know. Right now, there are, like, as we speak, there are around 22 million households which have access to CTV. Although not everyone who has a CTV would prefer to continue watching connected TV and not watch cable TV, but it's definitely a threat for TV, and this is something that people have to look out for. Now let's talk about radio. We all know radio, right? So for radio, the revenues of radio has, you know, compared to 2021 has grown, but they're still not closer to what their pre-pandemic or pre-COVID levels were. Talking about the radio space, you know, there are 34 private FMs operating in around 385 stations. Each radio station is kind of, in every city, is kind of a different TV channel altogether. I mean, we can consider it's just an analogy. So basically, just to give you an example, you know, Red FM that operates in Mumbai, okay, will be completely different from Red FM that operates in Delhi. So let's say RJ Malishka is a lead RJ in Red FM, but when we go to Delhi, there will be some other DJ who will be a lead RJ, right? So these stations, they act like different channels altogether, right? And that's actually could be an advantage also, because it then helps the local advertisers or even the bigger advertisers to advertise locally, right? So each station of radio is kind of a different channel altogether. Then we know about All India Radio, which is Government of India's initiative, the Prasar Bharati's All India Radio. It has an ability to reach out to almost 99% population in India. Of course, that's the potential where we can wherein people can be reached. But it does have the ability to reach out to almost 99% of the population. Then when it comes to radio, the day parts, the terminology of day part is kind of similar to TV. There's a morning time band, there's an afternoon time band, and then there is evening time band. Although in case of radio, morning and evening time bands, they are considered as the prime time band, because in the morning while traveling, there's a lot of listening to the radio that happens during the evening time. There's a lot of listening to radio that happens. So day parts are similar to that of TV: morning, afternoon, and evening. In terms of the content that's there on radio, so radio, of course, we know that there are songs, so music is the content which is there on radio. But there's spoken content which is there in the form of RJ announcements. You know, RJ engages with the people. People call up RJs. So there's spoken content which runs on the radio, right? Then of course music is there. Different radio stations operate or known for a different kind of music, right? So for example, Big FM in Mumbai kind of runs retro music versus Big FM in Delhi, which is more of contemporary music, right? So different types of music, even and in regional or in different regions, music will be each of the radio stations will have a regional music as well. Then there is tech-based content, which is, calling up RJs, or there are certain competitions that involves listener calling up the RJ, etc. So this is a tech-based content that is there, that exists on radio, right? So just to sum up, there's spoken content, there's music, and then there is tech-based content on radio. Now, when it comes to the revenues, right, the 50% of, when it comes to the ad volumes on radio, almost 50% of the ad volumes on radio came from three dominant categories. One is services, another one is BFSI, which is your banking and finance, and third is the foods and food and beverages. Interesting thing, LIC is one of the biggest advertisers on the radio. There's no anyone who has listened to the radio would definitely have listened to LIC ad on the radio at least once, right? So when we're talking about radio advertising places, it is observed that almost 47% of the radio ad volumes in 2021 were delivered by non-metros. And within that, Maharashtra and Gujarat were the states that remained as the highest, that had the highest ad volumes on radio. Then when it comes to radio, right? This growth in non-FCT revenues that is happening. What I mean by non-FCT revenues is when we listen to the spot of an advertiser running on radio, that's an FCT or a free commercial time when an advertiser basically advertises. But a non-FCT basically can be an RJ-led integration. So basically RJ speaking about our brand, right? So that's, there's a growth that is observed for non-FCT revenues, and that is one of the future outlooks for radio as well. One of the interesting things, and again kind of a future outlook to radio, is that podcasts are coming on radio. So in this context, many of the radio companies, they have recently started to experiment with podcasts, because podcasts are gaining attraction, right? So with this experiments, they have kind of generated millions of listeners per month. So that's something to look out for when it comes to radio. Again, when it comes to the receivers in radio, FM radio receivers were almost prevalent in around half of the top 10 phone brands that are sold in India. Although listening radio on mobile phones is fading away slowly. When it comes to the receiver, almost all the cars have radio, and it is in fact one of the preferred modes of listening while you're driving the car. Now, talking about the pros and cons of radio, like we were saying, radio is very local. So that's great from two perspectives. A, it is good for the local brands. So for example, they could be, local jewelry shops or local businesses who would want to advertise, but, do not have deep pockets to, go big on TV, right? For such brands, right, advertising on radio is very economical and also impactful. Also, there are local real estate projects. Like even if the advertiser is as big as, let's say, Lodha, who have presence probably all across India, but the projects are local, right? So it will make more sense for me, who's staying in Mumbai, to listen to a property which is based in a real estate property which is based in Mumbai. So even for a big advertiser, advertising locally makes sense, and even for smaller businesses, it makes a lot of sense to advertise on the radio. Then when it comes to the engagement, like we spoke about the spoken content on radio. So when it comes to the engagement that an RJ can generate on radio, can have a huge potential to influence people. This is one of the advantages wherein RJs can make the brands grow big. Radio is economical. It's a low cost medium which is kind of an encouraging for small businesses to enter into media. So it's a low cost medium, and from a media planning perspective, radio medium is kind of considered as a reminder medium. It's a medium wherein we can probably try to place a lot of spots in a day versus a TV. So for example, TV being very costly, we may choose to run probably 3 or 4 spots a day. But when it comes to radio, there could be like 20 or 25 spots also running. So it kind of acts as a reminder to the other medium. It kind of acts as a support medium. So these are like advantages of radio. Of course, there's good rate of return because of the economical nature of the radio. But when it comes to disadvantages, of course, it's just the sound and no, there's no audio, there's no visual to it. So the impact is kind of lesser when it when it's compared to the audio visual counterparts of radio. Secondly, the most important thing that radio misses is the measurability. So earlier there used to be a tool or a third party measurement called RAM, which is radio audience measurement, which existed only in like top four metros. But nowadays, not many media agencies use RAM. So measurability is concerned. So whenever an advertiser places their spots on radio, we don't really know what has happened, how many audiences have listened to that ad, right? So we just have to go by the gut feel in this case. So measurability is kind of a concern. And third is that, you know, radio kind of works in the background. You don't have like, you're not fully attentive always while listening to the radio. It's just happening in background. So there's a tendency that, you know, your ad might get ignored, right? So these are like the disadvantages that radio has. Now talking about the outlook or the future outlook of radio, is still relevant for small and local advertisers, and even for a big advertisers from their local campaigns, they stay quite relevant. Measurement, like we spoke, measurement is definitely an issue and there needs to be a solve for it. But, it's unlikely that there's going to be any solve for the measurement issue on radio. So which is a deterrent for a lot of advertisers because there's no measurability. In terms of future outlook, online presence, a lot of players have started establishing their online presence of radio. So for example, Radio Mirchi also has an online website wherein you actually can go and listen to the songs. But the thing is that these efforts which are happening from the radio owners, they are happening in isolation. They're not happening in a consolidated way. So although online presence has started building for radio, we are not very certain about what is going to happen next to that.